Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, could a new love be the reason a young man suddenly finds himself in the center of paranormal activity? A local legend may have been the one to visit a group of girls while they were home alone. A beloved stuffed animal is passed from a mother to her daughter, but the stuffed animal relays an eerie message to the daughter. And a clerk at a grocery store is used to seeing the regulars, but she's not comfortable when she sees them in the store after they're dead. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hello.
Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm good.
It would be kind of creepy to see the dead customers at the Piggly Wiggly.
It would be.
It's funny. When I'm in my hometown, if I'm at a store or something, every once in a while, I still run into a former Piggly Wiggly employee.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, that was the store that we used to shop at when I was little. Like, I don't know. I think we probably stopped shopping there. It changed hands at one point. And I think I was, I don't know, 7, 8.
Okay.
Then we moved to the other store across town and started shopping there. We were such regulars there. You knew everyone. You knew the checkers. You knew the meat guy. You knew the Frito guy. You knew everybody.
Uh-huh.
This is how it was. And to this day, like, they're still about out and about. And every once in a while, you run into them. And if I'm with my mom, they know my mom.
Sure.
But they're like, and this is little Tony. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And it's like, you look horrible now.
Oh, they don't say
you're
that.
You're not a cute little boy anymore.
They don't
Your
say
hair
that.
Is gone. You should disown him. That's what they say.
Because your hair's gone?
Yeah, that's usually the reason. They're very anti-baldite up there.
Well, it doesn't keep you warm if you don't have hair.
It's true. It's true. Actually, I ran into one of them with my mother at an Irish pub once.
Uh-huh.
About, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago. Had a drink with the cashier lady who used to give me balloons and stuff. It was rather odd.
I bet.
But anyhow, good times. So yeah, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can also, of course, write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. I'm excited about the stuffed animal story, too, that's in here today.
It's short but sweet.
Makes me think of Teddy Ruxpin. It's always a creepy, creepy toy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm just bitter because I never got one or what, but I thought it was cool when I was a kid. Now I just think they're creepy. Let's go to our first story of the day, and it comes into us from Teresa. Teresa writes, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I have been a listener for a little under a month, and I love the show. I live in Canada, but my story takes place in Vermont. Thank God, because we don't read stories that occurred in Canada." That's a rule we have here. I'm kidding.
About half our stories come from Canada.
I'm kidding. My mom and I are huge lovers of the fall time, and we like to take road trips through scenic places to observe the changing of the leaves. A few years ago, we spent a weekend in Stowe, Vermont. Since it was close to Halloween, we decided to take the Haunted Walk of Stowe. We went on a walk around town, the cemetery, and downtown areas, and listened to a guide tell us ghost stories. One of the best stories we heard was about the Gold Brook Bridge, better known as Emily's Bridge. been said that Emily has been in a forbidden relationship with a man. The two planned to marry on the bridge in secret. However, when the day came, her groom never showed. In her misery, Emily hung herself on the bridge. There have been many tales of horses crossing the bridge and emerging with scratches on the back of their legs. Supposedly, Emily reaching up from the water below. There have also been sightings of white figures and scenes on around the bridge. Since the bridge was not close by where the haunted walk took place, we don't actually get to see the bridge, but we did see Emily's grave. The following day, my mom and myself decided to take a drive to the bridge. We didn't expect anything to happen, but thought it was neat to see. As we crossed the bridge, a woman was walking towards us with her head down. We were looking around and saw a piece of white fabric hanging from a tree in the ravine below the bridge. At first, I figured someone had tied the fabric there as a joke for visitors to the bridge. As we passed by the woman walking towards us, she looked up at us and her eyes were completely hollow. Both my mom and I were startled and looked back, but the woman had put her head back down and was walking away. The piece of white fabric had vanished from the tree. Was this truly Emily? I'll never know, but I like to believe it was Teresa in Canada.
So I think this is different than your regular run-of-the-mill, every town has a haunted bridge story.
Because something actually happened here?
No, because they were able to see the grave of the person that died. And usually if there's a grave, you know, then there's, I think, just a little bit more legitimacy to it.
Yeah, it's not just, well, we think this lady person in some stories, it was a guy. Some stories, it was a cat.
Right.
But yeah, there's like some actual historical backing to it.
Right.
If you will. I don't know what I would do if I was driving down the road and someone looked up at me and had no eyes.
I think you'd floor it.
I think I'd probably accidentally drive off the bridge. I wonder how many accidents occur in that area because people see that shit and they just lose control. I would be really freaked out. I mean, that's like the creepy scene in movie trailers. Mm-hmm. And there was, gosh, I forgot what the movie was. And I tried watching it, and the movie wasn't any good, but the trailer was pretty good. And it was, and someone will know this, but it was, I think, shot documentary style, quote unquote. It wasn't a real documentary. And it was of a nun, and her head was down, and it was supposedly, I believe, around the Vatican is where this, you know, was taking place, quote unquote. And you know, the setting looks normal. It looks kind of like a cloudy day. There's people walking around and whatnot, and everything's, you know, hunky-dory. And then all of a sudden, like, the shot of the nun looks up and there she is, hollow eyes.
Yeah.
And it's just, you kind of know it's coming, but at the same time you don't.
Startles you every time.
It's a startling just sight. The hollow eye thing startles me. That's the same way, like, why I think I'd be freaked out by the children, the black-eyed children, mm-hmm, as well. Anything, I don't know, the eyes, for whatever reason, when they're messed up, when they're like all white or when they're hollow or when they're just black marbles, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like an understated creepiness. Like, you don't even need to be a zombie. You don't need to be zombified at all.
You just have to have weird eyes.
You got the weird eyes. It's creepy as hell.
Yeah. I could see that.
And with all those contact lenses out there now that people have.
Right.
I'm afraid to stick shit in my eyes or really touch my eyes in general.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'd be all about that at Halloween and really freaking people out with it. But I just don't want to touch my eyes. I'm afraid, like I am deathly afraid of, like, having to ever have contact lenses or something.
Why?
It's because I don't like touching my eyes.
Okay.
I mean, it's probably something I get over like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just one of those things I've never done in my life, so I don't know how it feels. It just looks like you'd be, number one, a pain in the ass. And number two, I think I could screw it up and hurt my eyes in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So I just stick with my glasses now, which are a fairly new addition to me.
Well, you don't have eyesight so bad that you can get by with your glasses off.
Mm-hmm.
So...
yeah, I mean, I run into things. I accidentally have taken some bites out of our pets thinking they were snacks, but...
no.
But yeah, So anyway, that's it's a creepy thought, the eye thing. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Getting ready for another episode 2 of Seeing Ghosts. It'll be episode number 3. If you have a ghost photo, a good one, that you'd like to share with us and have it featured on that show, email it to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And put a little note on there as well about what we're actually looking at. That's helpful.
Yeah.
So a little bit of the background story. Peter writes, and hi there, my name is Peter. I live in, I'm not going to get this one right. Is this Mississauga, Ontario, Canada?
Mississauga?
It's like, maybe Mississauga. That probably looks a little bit better. It's like the Canadian version of Mississippi.
Okay.
I wonder if they have a song for it. Mississauga.
There
you go. I just made a song.
Okay.
Everyone, the school children should sing it from now on. I literally just started listening to the podcast. It's great. Thinking about becoming an EPP soon. We hope you will. Anyway, I was listening to an episode and heard someone talk about an experience similar to the one that I had about 7 years ago when I was 20. So this is 3 experiences, really, but they're connected since this happened with my ex-girlfriend. One night when we first started dating, we were in my parents' basement watching a movie, and all of a sudden we both hear small footsteps coming down the stairs fast, as well as a bell clinging. And the steps came into the back room of the basement where we were. I had a cat at the time, so I was expecting it to be her, but as those noises got closer, it didn't sound like her at all. The sound continued in the room but nothing was there. The sound continued like it was circling the table beside us, fast, and then the sound going out of the room into the little hallway and back up the stairs. We both were in shock looking at each other, and my ex asked to go upstairs because she was freaked out. After, when she left, I began to think about what I could have been, what it could have been at the time. My dog, Spikey, that passed away 3 years prior. He would do this all the time, whenever having people over or whenever I called him to play. He was a real helper dog, Jack Russell Terrier, which is why the steps sounded so fast, I believe. I ended up calling my ex, who still completely freaked out, and told her what I thought. She said, well, I heard it too, and saw nothing. So maybe you're right, and maybe he's just saying bye. I never heard those. Fast forward about a week. I was in the basement by myself and playing some video games. I decided it was a nice summer day, so why not go shoot some hoops out in the front? I had a t-shirt and shorts on with different things in my pocket: cell phone, keys, wallet, pack of smokes, a lighter. Placed my keys and wallet on a table that's between the two couches in that back room of the basement where I was playing video games. Headed out of that room and into the furnace room, which is at least 30 feet from where I was prior, to retrieve the basketball to go outside and play. As I bent down to grab the basketball, I heard something drop close by. When I turned around to see what it was, my wallet is right in the middle of the doorway of the furnace room. I yelled, "Fuck that," and ran with the basketball up the stairs and outside. And no, I didn't forget to take the wallet out of my shorts. It fell out, if that's what you're thinking. I'm 100% sure I placed it on the table, along with my keys 30 feet away, trying to get my mind off what had just happened. I just started playing basketball like I was going to anyway. My ex calls me. I didn't tell her what happened because I didn't want to freak her out, but she asked if I wanted her to come by, and I said yes. But an hour later, I get a text from her saying she's on the bus, and it's 15 minutes away, and to meet her at the bus stop like usual. So I started heading to the bus stop to meet her, and to get there faster, there's a small forest area that's called Cawthra Bush, which has some history and is literally right behind my parents' house. Anyway, I start walking along the trail, and as I get to the end of the trail, go out of the bush, I suddenly hear a very loud screech coming from a car, like it's about to hit something, but I don't hear a crash. I think nothing of it at the time, and say to myself, close call, I guess. The sound came from the west side of the bush. There's a main road called Cawthra Road. I didn't tell my ex, just thinking this was an accident, but Little did I know this would happen every single time I would walk to meet with my ex, and every time on my way back from talking to her, taking her to the bus stop, that always happened around the same area of the trail and always a big screech, but never heard a crash. This was happening too often to be a coincidence, and it didn't matter if it was daytime or nighttime. After about the eighth time this happened, I finally told my ex, because that time it was night walking back home from the bus stop, and I literally ran all the way home. After when she called me to let me know she got home safe, I told her what was happening, and she said, "Well, how come I never hear it when I'm with you? Are you sure you're just not hearing someone avoiding a crash?" I replied, "That loud and that often, and never hearing a crash seems too often for it to be that." She said, "Are you sure you're just not hearing things?" I replied, "Just like we heard things in the basement a while ago." She said, "Okay, don't bring that up, please. It's just weird, and I never hear it when you pick me up and drop me off." I said, "Why do you think it took me so long to tell you? It sounds nuts." This continued to happen every time, and then finally, one day after it happened to me for about a month straight, we're walking to the bus stop, and screech, she instantly screamed and pulled me to hurry up out of the bush. I said, "See? Fucking creepy, right?" The screech of the tires would last for about 2 seconds and never a crashing sound. We continued to talk about it later when she got home, and she said, "Peter, I know this thing is going to sound mean, but I really thought you were making this up to scare me, and that you were just hearing things." I said, "Well, now you know, I'm not, and I'm actually kind of relieved you heard it, because I was starting to think I was going crazy or something." After that day, she heard it with me 2 more times in a row, both on the way to my parents and back to the bus stop. The week after we broke up, and since then, every time I walk through Cathra Bush on that trail, I haven't heard anything, nor is there any paranormal stuff going on at my parents' place. Does it have something to do with my ex? Because she would tell me her fair share of experiences she had growing up. I'm not sure what caused this to happen to me, but it sure scared the shit out of me, and I constantly wait for that screeching noise to come back as I'm walking through that trail. But thankfully, it hasn't, because just talking about it gives me goosebumps. Thanks for reading, Peter.
I think Peter's onto something with the question of whether or not it has something to do with his ex-girlfriend.
Because
It sounded like anytime they were either trying to have time together or he was trying to get to her, or even coming home from seeing her, that things would happen. It's almost like something was trying to scare him off. And maybe that's indeed what happened, and that's why they broke up pretty quick.
I don't know. Peter, what happened?
Yeah.
Share your story with us.
At least it sounds like it was a short-lived...
We can analyze it and play a Celine Dion song after.
A short-lived relationship, but it sounds like something's trying to come between them.
It's probably an ongoing thing for her, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
With most relationships, until maybe it's a protective spirit. Maybe it's just waiting for the one that it's approving of. And then it'll go away. Until then, it's going to wreak havoc with every person that she sees.
At first, when they were talking about the screech in the woods, I thought of owls.
Sure.
But that sounds quite a bit different than a car screeching.
Yeah, an owl screech kind of sounds like a child screaming almost. Yeah, it's distinctively different.
Yeah.
Creepy story.
It is.
Thanks for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I think our dog enjoys coffee.
We know he enjoys coffee. That's why he tore into the garbage bag and ate all the coffee grounds.
Yeah. I'm noticing that today when he's been in here with me, I went to the other part of the house for a while, and then I came back out. Normally he's good. Normally he just sits on his bed, kind of hangs out and all that. But when he thinks he can get away with something, he attempts it.
Yeah.
And I have my garbage can over here, and I have some of the little coffee pods that are thrown away inside of there. And it's sealed. It's a sealed garbage can. Come back in here like 10 minutes later. It's got the garbage can open. It's got the coffee pods out. It's like, really? If I was sitting right here, you would never do that. And I've just noticed as I was reading that story, he was walking around here. And he was standing over there by the coffee machine on his hind legs.
And then he came over and was nosing the... Yeah. I kind of pushed him away from the trash.
He's smelling it.
Yeah. He's a coffee addict.
We should get him a Starbucks card for his birthday.
Well, you thought he was totally dead the other day.
I did.
He went out in the garage and the trash is strewn everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And there was just enough coffee grounds on the ground to know that there had been coffee grounds in the trash, but the rest of them were gone. Even the filter was gone.
Yeah.
And he's like all sprawled out under the truck.
And I don't believe coffee is poisonous to dogs.
Caffeine's dangerous for
them. Well, that's where we gotta keep that away. And the thing is, it was like well put away.
Mm-hmm.
It was like deep in the garbage can, and somehow he managed to get at it. It's been rather chilly here, so we had the animals, how they like to play outside. They're like, let's just let them play in the garage, a little more room to run around there.
Sure.
So they were running around out there for a little while, and then came out and found that lovely thing. And he's normally the first to greet me at the door.
Yeah.
And they're like, where is he? I'm called Bear. And I find him underneath my truck. And he just had this look of shame on his face because he had strewn that garbage everywhere. And he knew.
He had a complete coffee hangover.
He knew that something. But the thing is, once I got him out from under the truck, he took off. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
And he burned it all off running around the rest of
the day. At
least
it was warm so he could play outside.
Yeah. Got to keep the coffee safe.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. They tend to like things that they shouldn't like, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's like people, though. Michelle writes in, hey, Tony and Jenny, I recently found you folks on my podcast app. I love it. I'll be signing up to become an EPP. I wanted to write in and share one of my many experiences with the paranormal. Ever since I was little, I always felt and seen things out of the corner of my eye. When I was 12, my mom left me, my two cousins, and my older sister home alone for a bit so she could pick up my aunts from the bar, just a 5-minute drive away. She told us to lock the door, also the security door, which we did. We were in the bedroom, just talking about NSYNC like normal girls our age did. About 30 minutes passed by and we moved out to the living room and we heard the lock to the gate outside drop down as it would if someone had come through it. At this very moment, we heard what sounded like my aunt's voice, so my cousin went to go open the door. Right when she put her hand on the knob, my dog started barking violently. Why is this important? He was a trained guard dog and only barked at people who he didn't know. I grabbed my cousin's hand away from the door because something didn't feel right. She looked at me and said, open the door and let our moms in, crazy. I told her, it's not our moms. Max wouldn't bark at them. Outside the door, there was always a light in our washroom that was right by the stairs. When I said this, the light was blacked out like someone was blocking it. I started calling out, Mom! When I did this, Max stopped barking for a second, and then we heard a laugh. If you know my family, they all have this loud, weird laugh. It didn't sound like it. It actually made all three of us scared. It sounded almost like a laugh you hear in a horror movie right before some killer clown comes into view. We started to back away from the door to go get my older sister, and that's when we heard and felt the slam on the side of the house. Three slams. My dog started barking again and growling. My sister didn't hear anything when we told her. She told us to leave her alone, and she locked us out of her room. We got back into the living room, strapped with knives and a bat. We noticed that the light was now back on, but Max was facing the little tree in the yard and growling with his tail sticking at its point. I was scared for my dog and wanted to bring him in the house. I opened the door and called him in. The tree swayed as if someone was in it, which no one could because it wasn't like a normal tree. I mentioned I lived in Hawaii and it was hot at night with no breeze. Max stayed by the door and wouldn't move, even when I pet him and told him it was okay. 10 minutes passed and he sat down and licked my face. 2 seconds later, my mom opened the door. We all told him that when this happened, then they all said, well, the gate was left open. Good thing you didn't open the door. A few years ago, my mom and I were talking about my grandma's house in Hawaii, where this all happened. And I asked her if she remembered, and that's when she told me that my grandma's house was in the path of the Night Marchers. Anyway, I just wanted to share this little story and write in more at a later time. And now, Wikipedia, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I didn't know what the Night Marchers were. Google, and up comes this.
We need some sort of, like, funky music. Can you hum something for
no.
us?
No.
Like, la-da-da-da-da, Wikipedia.
That works.
We have to do it while I read it.
No.
It makes for dramatic effect.
No.
Damn it. Wikipedia. A Hawaiian legend. Night Marchers are the ghosts of ancient Hawaiian warriors on the nights of Kane, Ku, Lano, and Aku, and I'm sorry, I'm sure I butchered those names, they're said to come forth from their burial sites to march out of the past battles and to other sacred places. They march at sunset just before the sun rises. Anyone living near their path may hear chanting and marching and must go inside to avoid notice. They might appear during the day if coming to escort a dying relative to the spirit world. Anyone looking upon or seen by the marchers will die unless a relative is within the marchers' ranks. Some people maintain that if you lie face down on the ground, they will not see you. This is to show respect. However, if exiting the area is the fastest option, it's recommended. Placing leaves on the tie around one's home is said to keep away the evil spirits and will cause the night marchers to avoid the area. Another thing is to always highly respect the night marchers, which can result in great things. So they're either going to kill you or make you rich.
Yeah. I love different cultural legends like this, you know, mm-hmm. with a ghostly tie-in. And so as soon as I saw, you know, a reference to night marchers, it's like, okay, gotta Google this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought we'd share.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear the story behind the story.
Mm-hmm.
And now the rest of the story. I'm going to do the rest of the show in a Paul Harvey voice.
No, please don't.
It will be great fun.
Ugh.
Lisa Brightson.
Please don't do that.
Hi, Tony and Jenny.
Oh, my God.
I've had a few strange...
It's a horrible, horrible Paul Harvey.
Experience. I know. It's horrible. Been so long since I've heard Paul Harvey.
You have to start the story over.
Okay. Lisa writes in, Dear Casey, Hi, Tony and Jenny. I've had a few strange experiences in my life, most of which happened at my grandparents' home when I was a young girl. This story, however, occurred when I was an adult. 2007 was a busy year. I was pregnant for most of it, giving birth to a baby boy in late October. I was also a grad student at the last year of my program, earning a master's degree in elementary education. That hot, sticky summer, while heading into my last trimester of pregnancy, I completed the program with a student teaching practicum in a New York City school. Sadly, my grandfather, with whom I was very close, died in late August of that year. By the time my son was born, I was mentally and physically exhausted, sad that my son would never meet my grandfather, but at the same time, elated and terrified of this little being that would rock my world forever. I stayed home with my son for his first 10 months, but was eager and excited to launch my teaching career. I found a job as a substitute, working hard in order to secure a permanent position somewhere. The public school system in New York State is a difficult place to find a job, let alone keep one. After 2 years of subbing and sporadically taking over for medical leaves, I finally found a tenure track position teaching third grade in a great school. I was super excited and not quite ready to have another baby just yet. In the fall of 2010, just about a month after I started working, I became pregnant again. I was not ready for another baby, worried how it would look to my principal when I would have to take a 6-week maternity leave my first year of working there, but I also realized that life happens and this baby was wanted and loved, regardless of my situation. Unfortunately, I miscarried early in the pregnancy. My husband and I were devastated. We understood that maybe this one just wasn't meant to be, but we also realized that we wanted another baby. So we actually started trying for another one as soon as my doctor said it was safe. In April of 2011, I once again became pregnant. I was nervous, of course, that this one wouldn't make it either. My fears were confirmed when, once again, on my visit to the OBGYN to confirm the pregnancy, that there was a fetus but no heartbeat. I was speechless, heartbroken, and truly scared I would not be able to become pregnant ever again. To comfort ourselves, my husband and I started to entertain the idea of being a single-child family. However, we also weren't ready to give up. Then, that September, I became pregnant. It was a crazy, nervous mess. What if I miscarried for a third time in the span of a year? I was unsure of how I would handle it. A few weeks before the OBGYN checkups were, to say the least, were stressful. Sleeping was difficult since this was a constant worry. One night, while lying in bed with thoughts of the very real possibility of losing this baby swirling through my mind, the exhaustion of it all brought me to the edge of sleep. Since it was still warm this time in September, I had kicked the quilt off me in an attempt to get comfortable. Lying still, I suddenly felt the quilt thrown back onto my body. "John," I asked, bolting upright. But my husband was still asleep. The covers had indeed been thrown back onto my legs. I got up, walked into the bathroom to clear my head. And out of nowhere, the thought floated into my mind, everything's going to be all right. I was so comforted by this thought that I was actually able to go back to sleep with a feeling of peace. When I finally had my OBGYN checkup, the ultrasound showed a healthy fetus. A baby girl was born in May of 2012, and she hasn't stopped moving since. So what was it that night? A guardian angel? Most of my grandparents, as well as my father, had passed on at this point. Could it have been one of them coming back to comfort me? I'll never know. What I do know was that it wasn't a dream. What do you think? It feels therapeutic to be able to get this all down. Thanks for a great show and creating a forum for people to share their stories and ideas. I look forward to every new episode.
I kind of wonder with the way that everything's going to be okay just kind of popped into her head, if maybe something was trying to communicate to her telekinetically,
mm-hmm.
and pass that message to her as far as who it is or, you know, any correlation there. Have
sure.
no idea, but I just kind of thought maybe that might be it when she was so worried.
Yeah, I mean, normally that's not something you're just going to snap out of the worry.
No.
No matter what you tell yourself, no matter all that. Just to be able to get that comfort and to literally have that sudden changeover with some sort of confirmation that suddenly is there,
mm-hmm.
that something is okay. Yeah, you have to wonder, you know, was it some sort of guardian angel or spirit or just something that wanted to make sure that she was in a good, healthy state of mind for what was about to happen?
And, you know, maybe the whole thing with the covers was just to confirm to her that something was there
sure.
with her.
Because it wasn't just, hey, I had suddenly had this the realization
thought.
Or
yeah.
something. It was weird shit happens and then this happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think there was definitely something there. Thank you for sharing your experience with us. Jessica writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. As promised, I'm writing again to give further background to the paranormal phenomena that occurred in the apartment I lived in as a child, the place where I was dragged under my bed in the dead of night. Before I begin, I need to point out that this information was given to my mother by the landlord. Thus, I can't guarantee to the degree in which this story is true. Nonetheless, the story goes that before we moved into the apartment complex, there lived an elderly woman who practiced black magic. It was said that she could conduct strange rituals in her apartment. She rarely was seen out. I'm not sure if this was due to her old age, or she preferred to keep herself isolated. Because of this, it wasn't unusual to not see her for days at a time. So when she passed away, it took several days for her body to be discovered. She was found a couple days after her death due to the complaints the landlord was receiving of a foul smell coming from her room. The landlord went up to the apartment, and after several unanswered knocks and calls, the landlord opened the door with her master key. There she found the old lady collapsed on the floor, dead. According to the paramedics, she'd passed away of a heart attack. Since the landlord could not get in contact with any of the old lady's family members, she decided to pack up the belongings and keep them in storage. She needed to vacate the room and put it up for rent again. When cleaning out the closet in the room, the landlord encountered three creepy voodoo dolls with pins all over them. She proceeded to throw them out, not wanting to keep them in storage. After finding these dolls, she decided to call it a day and continue the cleaning the next day. The next day, when finishing up cleaning, she started to experience unexplained phenomena. The lights and microwave would turn on and off. At this point, the landlord quickened her pace, wanting to just get out of that room as quickly as possible. However, she stopped dead in her tracks when she found by the door the three voodoo dolls she had disposed of the day before. There was no explanation to how they'd gotten back into the room when she was the only one who had keys to the room. When she had disposed of the dolls in an outside dumpster. After all this, the landlord decided to bless the apartment dolls with holy water. She disposed of the dolls once again, but this time they were never seen again. It was later rumored that something must have frightened the old lady to such an extent that she had a heart attack. Once my mother moved into this apartment complex, she told me she would often hear strange bangs and noises at night. The most frightening instances to her were when she would hear as if all the utensils in the kitchen cabinet we picked up and dropped one by one every other night. I'm so sorry if the story got a bit lengthy, but I do hope to hear it read and to get your takes on it. Could the old lady have woken up something more sinister than expected? Did these experiences lead to her death? And could this be an explanation of why I was dragged under my bed? Thanks. Keep up the excellent work.
I think with an old lady that's definitely into something she shouldn't be, I don't think you can rule out anything as far as what may have been brought in. And maybe something did scare her.
Did it have something to do with her death? I don't know. I'm wondering if maybe, I think it could be that something did scare her, but I'm not sure. I mean, she may, here's my thought, she may have just died.
Well, sure.
Without closing whatever she had opened.
Oh.
And then these are the things that then tormented our writer, you know, later on, because these things were never shut. It's like the Ouija board, not saying goodbye.
Yeah.
Or ending it, or and then this door, this portal is still open and has not been closed. That's my guess. Now, was the cause of death something to do with what she opened? Maybe, maybe not. People just die.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, she's dead, and that door was not closed. That's my guess.
That makes sense.
Da da da. Unsolved mystery solved. Thank you, Robert Stack.
There you go.
So, that and bunk beds.
Okay.
I think there's a bunk bed somewhere in this story.
Could be.
Maybe she slept on a bunk bed. I always thought when I was a kid that when I grew up, I was going to get a bunk bed. I didn't want like the big bed. Uh-huh. I didn't want like a king bed, a queen bed, or, you know, I wanted a bunk bed. I've never done that.
And I don't
Can
think
we get
you
bunk
will.
Beds? Can we do, no. Can you do like a giant bunk bed? Like with a king mattress, like two king mattresses? That would be awesome. You know how there's so many things that are like kid-like that are now marketed to adults, like coloring books and shit?
Sure.
Where it's like, oh yeah, you know, you love these as a kid. Now love them as an adult. Grown-up bunk beds, but for like full-sized beds. And I'm not saying full sizes in the size, but like big beds. Queen-size bunk beds, king-size bunk beds. Do they exist on the next Maury?
Okay. I don't know. And I don't know why you would want that.
I don't know.
You'd have to have some kind of supportive post in the middle of your bed.
You would need like massive like beams that support homes. Like put the I-beam over here. It'd be like a fixer upper or something where they're like trying to figure out ways to support this bed.
You need a header under the top bunk.
King size bunk bed.
I bet there's not one.
These do look pretty big. It may just be like describing the bed though, but they do look pretty damn big. I think they exist.
Okay.
Somebody has made king size bunk beds. Can we get one?
No.
Like every other night, we can pick an like up or the down or awesome.
No.
So awesome.
Sorry.
Shoot all my dreams down.
I know. I kill all your dreams. That's why we're sitting here talking about a ghost show.
Dream killer.
Right.
Sarah writes in, when I was a kid, my favorite stuffed animal was a raccoon named Ricky. Is this true?
It's a good story.
A raccoon named Ricky?
A raccoon named Ricky.
Okay. I'm just thinking it's, you know.
I know.
The tie-in there?
Predates Trailer Park.
I took him everywhere and slept with him every night until I was around 18. I can't explain it, but I just always felt like Ricky was a conscious being whose only purpose being here was to watch over me. My parents used to have this thing they did to tease me. They'd hold Ricky up to their ears and say, "Hold on, Ricky's saying something." "What's that, Ricky? You want him to fly?" Then they'd throw him across the room to make him fly. I'd have to go pick him up. It was just a dumb joke they'd play on me a lot, like friendly teasing. Anyway, fast forward several years to when I'm 30 and my daughter was 2 years old. I was going through some boxes I had in storage and came across Ricky. I got the idea that I should pass Ricky down to my daughter, Ava. Maybe she'd love him like I did. Keep in mind, she was 2 years old and had never seen Ricky before. So I handed Ricky to her and told her that it was Mom's special raccoon and when Mommy was little. What she did next terrified and amazed me. She said, "Shh, Mommy, he's saying something." And she held Ricky up to her ear and said, "You want to fly?" And she threw him across the room. Oh, the creepy shit children do. After that, Ricky always made us feel a bit uneasy.
I like that story.
That's great.
Isn't that?
That, yeah. Sometimes you just don't know where they're coming up with the stuff.
No. No.
Wow, that's a good one.
I did, for a minute, wonder if maybe somebody made it up. Or maybe they changed the name of what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of it.
Sure, the animal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the only other thing I can think of or wonder is, you know, was there like a grandparent involved here or something, you know, where at one point they said, oh yeah, your mom had a stuffed raccoon and we used to do this. And then the child was emulating it. I mean, there's some possibilities there.
There are, but with a 2-year-old, I'm not sure that they would make that connection.
And then, yeah, come back and do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a good one.
I liked it.
I like it. Sarah writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I wanted to write in about my workplace. I won't give the name of the place, but it's a little strip mall with a pharmacy, grocery store, gym, and video rental store. I work at the grocery store and the gym, since it's all owned by the same people. The store itself has been here for a month and for more than 30 years. The town I live in has a lot of history, bad history, mainly with the mob. The town has the nickname of Little Italy. Back to the story. I've been working there for 5 years, and I've had experiences since the day I started. I am sensitive, however, and I try to block out as much as I can because I have a hard time controlling what and who comes in. So one of the first nights that I was working at the grocery store, I was there until close, and when the manager was setting the alarm, I was looking towards the registers and saw a tall, dark shadow standing by the last register. I didn't say anything because I didn't want my coworkers to think I was crazy. Soon after, I met one worker that I'll call James, who was really into the paranormal, and he and I got on the subject of ghosts, and I told him about the shadow person that I saw. He smiled and said, yeah, that's probably Tom. He's an old manager from the 80s who passed away. He said, at night, if you go to the meat room, turn off the music, stand by the door, you can hear talking and music playing. I thought he was full of shit, but I was curious. So one night, while the manager was closing up the office, I went to the meat room. Music and lights were off, and I started to hear a light conversation. I didn't hear any music, but it was definitely two men talking. I started feeling a heavy pressure on my chest, and my head started to hurt, which is what I always felt when an entity was trying to interact with me. The best way I can describe it is it feels like an anxiety attack. Not fun, but I heard my manager and asked if I was ready to go, so I hurried to the front and texted James about what I heard. We've had so many little experiences, from money going missing in the office and turning up a day or so later. We've had items fly off the shelf, beer bottles burst for no reason at all. In 2013, a lady I worked with, I'll call her Amy, who was like a second mother to me, was diagnosed with ALS. It hit her hard, and within 6 months she was gone. A lot of us at the store had seen her, mainly in the back room. I was standing at the break table one day, and I heard a loud banging noise, and I quickly turned around and saw Amy walking past the bathrooms. I ran toward her, and by the time I got to where she was gone. I've known if it was a real person because we have double doors that swing back and forth for quite a while after someone walks through them. They were still. When I started working at the gym, I felt like something different was here, something possibly dark, I'm not really sure. However, when I'm in my office, or in the back of the gym, especially by the back door, I feel like someone is standing behind me and it doesn't feel like it's happy that I'm there. So I usually take a long way around when I need to get to the other side of the gym. I've seen someone or something wearing white run across the gym. I've heard doors slam when no one is here. I've had unexplainable power glitches. The treadmills have turned on by themselves. The owner has an office in the back of the gym near where I feel the dark, heavy presence. He's heard me talking and saying his name when I wasn't even there. I'd show up a few minutes later and he'd ask if I just got there. The most recent thing that happened was probably the creepiest. It happened to one of the managers at the store, Jill. I got to work and she told me about seeing a lady who was a regular at the store in the gym on one of the bikes. She said, I saw Anne in the gym this morning. I stopped immediately and asked what she said, and she repeated herself. I asked if she was sure she saw her. She said, of course, and asked why. I pulled up Anne's obituary on my phone and showed Jill. Anne had passed away the week before. Jill was understandably shocked, as she doesn't believe in ghosts. I looked at the cameras and couldn't see Anne, but I did see Jill waving at no one. Well, that's it for now. I'm sorry if this was long, but there's a lot that's happened here. I'm going to write in soon about a haunted bridge that my friends and I went to. Thank you so much for your show. I'm an EPP, and I love it. Sarah.
I love it when they can go back and look at footage and they see some normal, happy, healthy person waving at somebody who's not there.
Yeah.
Those are great.
I want to go shopping there.
You do?
I would do all of my shopping there if it was here and I knew where it was. That's awesome. I'd probably even join the gym.
Yeah.
Just that. Now that's incentive to join a gym. Come join our gym. It's haunted.
Haunted gym.
That's it. That would be, I would pay. I don't care what sort of exorbitant gouging membership fee the gym wants to try and do on that one. I would join that gym.
I wonder how often people that work at grocery stores see people that they're used to seeing that are dead, but they don't know it.
Yeah. Because it's kind of a routine thing, you know, and that's what a lot of this sounds like. I mean, she does say she feels like the dark energy and stuff, but it almost sounds like this is a residual things for the most part. Maybe there's more there, but a lot of the things she's describing just sound like these things going through what they went through when they were alive. What would be interesting about the bike, I got to ask Sarah here, on the security camera, was it moving?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question.
She pointed at the bike, waved at it. Was the bike moving? That's something to look at. If she can even see the bike. It may be one of those where it's like kind of off angle or something. But.
Yeah. Or if the friend, when she saw the ghost, if she noticed, if, you know, it looked like she was just kind of doing that back and forth shuffle move when you're riding a bike, but were the pedals even moving?
Yeah. I don't know. That's odd.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Look into that. Let us know. Great story. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Beth in Pennsylvania.
Hi, this is Beth in Pennsylvania, and I just got done listening to the episode. I think it was titled Father's Ghost, and you were talking about throwing pudding around after you died, and I laughed my rear off. Anyway, I am a mail carrier, and I've been wanting to call in, but as soon as I heard you talking about delivering cremated remains, I had to call because I have delivered them before, and it really creeped me out at first, but I got used to it, and it was almost like I had somebody with me in the mail truck when I was, you know, riding with it. And maybe there was, who knows, but nothing strange happened. I live near Pennhurst. I've been wanting to call in about this Pennhurst State School. I know it's been on TV and all the ghost shows. Everybody who's, you know, has a ghost show has been there to investigate. But I have been there to take, I guess they have a haunted haunted thing at Halloween. I went into one of the buildings, not one of the buildings with the actors and the craziness. You can actually go into one and just look at it. And I guess it's supposed to have been left how it was. And there's weird furniture and everything. But just being on the grounds was really cool. And being able to look at all the buildings and be there. But I was going through and taking pictures with my cell phone, and nothing strange happened when I was in there, and I didn't notice anything odd. But when I got home to look at my pictures, there was a picture that was completely white, and I've never had that happen before, never had it happen since. So I thought that was really bizarre. Another thing related to that, there are a lot of running trails in my area, and there's one that goes right near the property. You can't see it, but I've looked at Google Maps and I know it's right there. And I was running back there one day and I saw this old typewriter that was just sort of laying beside the running trail. Right above that point there is a bridge. I'm not entirely sure if that bridge is a road that connects to Pennhurst, but what I was thinking was that some kid or person or whatever had gotten in there at some point in time and taken his typewriter, and I don't know if it was too heavy or whatever, but they just left it on the side of the running trail. And my first instinct was, oh, this is really cool, I want this. And then I'm like, how am I gonna get it back to my car. I'm not going to run this typewriter miles back to my car. And then I thought, you know what? I really shouldn't touch this, because what if there's something attached to this thing, which I definitely not want to bring anything back. And also, of course, living here near Pennhurst, I know a lot of people who used to go in there before it was bought and security was set up. You used to be able to just go in there anytime you wanted. Unfortunately, I did not live here at that time, but there are tons of videos on YouTube of people going through and videotaping, and it's really cool. There's lots of pictures. But I have a friend who spent the night in one of the Pennhurst buildings and told me that he saw a full-bodied apparition, which is pretty cool. And a lot of the videos and things I've seen that people have taken, there's one girl who took a video, and there's these unexplained vomiting sounds just randomly in her video, with seemingly no explanation for it. But anyway, pretty cool. I love living near here and knowing that a lot of ghost hunters have been through here, but I've never actually seen any of them. I wish I had. Any of the people. I've watched all the shows, but haven't seen any of the cars. But anyway, I love your show. Thanks for entertaining me while I'm at work. It's definitely makes my day go by a lot faster and more interesting. All right. Thanks so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
I think the thing that bothers me the most about her story is that the way she described carrying the remains, and she said at first it bothered her and then she got used to it. How often are you carrying human remains?
I'd guess probably quite often.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
Why?
Well, you know, there's, you know, people that have relatives in other parts of the country, and when they die, it's one of those things where if in their will or their request, if their loved ones are not around, you know, and there's some other part, and they want to be cremated, they got to get the remains there somehow. And sometimes the cremation isn't always like immediate, you know, with a funeral or something of that nature. Sometimes there's, lack of a better term, a backlog on that. And if you're in town for the ceremony or the funeral or whatever you want to, you know, be there for, you're there, and then you have to go back if it's not your area of the country. And then they ship you the parts.
It's like, or mail order remains.
Or there's the situations where, and this is quite common, where remains get divided up amongst family members.
Sure.
All over the country. So I'm thinking that's where it becomes common and frequent.
Okay, to me, okay, those all make sense.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think if it were my loved one, that's something that is delivered in person. That's
yeah.
Not... hey, let me just, you know, put a stamp on your ass and send you over there, because that's, I don't know, that's just, in my mind, that's just kind of
sometimes
odd.
It's, I think it's just circumstantial sometimes.
Yeah, and I get that, and I don't think anything less of people that have done that, because I'm sure it was circumstances they really didn't want to
sure.
do. I just never thought about that.
I mean, ideally, you'd want to, you know, take everybody out to Chuck E. Cheese and hand them over right there over a large cheese and pepperoni.
Do they have to be marked? Like, does the box have to be marked a special way?
Yeah. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You know an awful lot about this.
I've shipped a lot of dead people.
I know.
Where did we... Was it that long ago that... Oh, somebody sent us a picture on Facebook.
Oh.
And that's where this conversation even began. Because it was this, the sticker was, you know, this package contains mm-hmm. human remains or something of that nature. And I was like, my gosh, I didn't know you could do that. And I think that's where a lot of it came up. And that's where we talked about it that one day on the show. And that's how that all began. So
see.
You can't just put somebody into like a FedEx envelope and send them.
Or, I know that.
Or hey, can we fit you in the $5 USPS?
I just didn't realize it was that. Often that happens.
There's a lot of people that die.
I know. Everybody dies.
Everybody dies. Everybody poops.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think you can ship that, but you can ship...
You can't ship shit?
You can't ship shit,
okay.
But you can ship the shitter. There
awesome.
You go. That's a new saying. That's like how much wood would chuck wood. You can't ship shit, but you can ship the shitter. I can't even say it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's end on a high note.
It's a new one for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Teach your children that. All right. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. Become an EPP. Sign up on the website, Real Ghost Stories Online, and keep this insanity on the air.